You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We're going to kick off another week here. We took care of another division in terms of looking at 2020 in review, 2021 offseason preview. So now we've gone through three divisions in total. If you missed any of those shows, those 12 teams, AFC East and AFC North. That was our latest division. We also did the NFC East. So we did get to the point of talking about the four teams from the NFC North next. And we will do that. We will get to every team here eventually. But we said we're also going to pop in when needed, when things happen here that need to be discussed that have fantasy football implications. And we had one late last week that we need to get to, is the Carson Wentz trade from Philadelphia to Indianapolis. So ex-Eagle Carson Wentz is. He's now a Colt, reunited with Frank Reich. So that definitely has some fantasy football implications here for 2021 and beyond for both teams. So what we'll do is I will take it from the Colts' perspective first and what they're acquiring here in Wentz. And then we'll look at what the Eagles are left with here. What do they do? Do they go forward with Jalen Hurts and Hurts and his value going forward? So a lot of good stuff here to break down. And actually, maybe all positive here for fantasy football production purposes here in this upcoming season. So we'll break that down in depth. Before we get into that, I got to tell you, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and get 20% off your next order. All right, so let's start the Colts. So they didn't have a quarterback. Phillip Rivers retired. Jacoby Brissett is a free agent. Their other option would have been Jacob Eason, a draft pick from last year, but they were too confident in Eason. He was more of a developmental type. So they definitely needed a quarterback. So when you look at that from their perspective, what they gave up was a third-round pick this year in 2021 and a conditional second-round pick that probably turned into a first-round pick next year. The Colts should hope it turns into a first-round pick, because that means Carson Wentz has played 75% of their offensive snaps here in 2021, which means he should have some success being consistent as their starting quarterback. So I think they would obviously like him to start more than 12 games after acquiring him, and they get him for around $25 million a season over the next 3 years, so they don't have to pay the upfront cost the Eagles did. Eagles get a lot of cap relief in making this move on Carson Wentz. So what do the Colts get here? I mean, Frank Reich and Carson Wentz have a good history. 2017, when this team went to the Super Bowl, the Eagles, and won it with Nick Foles in the end, when Carson Wentz was hurt for that run in December. But when Carson Wentz was going and healthy that season, he was playing like an MVP. He was lighting it up. He was throwing with confidence, getting the ball downfield. He was working the slot well, playing off the running game, using his athleticism, not running necessarily, taking off and producing that way, but extending plays, making big plays downfield. The Eagles were in the zone offensively, wire to wire. They were really dominant offensive team there in 2017. Part of it was Carson Wentz's play. So Reich knows what makes Carson Wentz tick, and this is important because Frank Reich was with Phillip Rivers, and so there was some familiarity last year. And we saw that Phillip Rivers, okay, wasn't a great fantasy football season. From a reality perspective, however, played pretty well, had a few shaky games, but overall they were able to go 11-5 with Phillip Rivers, and that was with a run-heavy type of offense. The approach there, leaning on the defense as well. They didn't get a lot of big plays in the pass game. You saw some quiet nature from T.Y. Hilton until kind of down the stretch where he became fantasy football relevant. They didn't have Michael Pittman Jr., the promising rookie from USC, healthy for most of the year. So it was definitely a grind here for the Colts offensively. And they weren't, again, a pass-happy team. That's not what they did. They had a good backbone of the defense. Their offensive line tailored to run the ball. They had a little regression here in pass protection because of some injuries, Anthony Costanzo getting older and all that. So eventually Costanzo said, "I'm beat up, I got to hang it up here." He teased retirement in the 2020 offseason, but he's officially retired now. So Costanzo, their left tackle, moves on here. So that is a concern. You do have pretty good four-fifths of the line there, including Quentin Nelson there and Kelly, the center. So Ryan Kelly and Quentin Nelson, pretty good combination on the interior. So they're a good run blocking team. We know that. But they got to go back to upgrading in pass protection. Costanzo gave it all he had, but he was on the other side, worn down a little bit, and you could see signs of that in pass protection last year. But the Colts still very protective of Phillip Rivers. He got the ball out quickly. You're talking about Carson Wentz, who was sacked a league-high 50 times in Philadelphia. And we know what happened. Andre Dillard, the left tackle, got hurt. Lane Johnson was hurt. They had to shuffle their interior. Brandon Brooks was hurt. Jason Peters was in decline and out of position for much of the season. They had to figure out center and right tackle for a lot of the season. So it was a mess up front for the Eagles. Plus, he didn't have any consistent, reliable threats. I mean, Zach Ertz was hurt for a while. Dallas Goedert, a tight end, was hurt. You didn't really have receivers step up. DeSean Jackson had a big game early, but he got hurt and he was on the shelf for a long time. So you had Jalen Reagor, the rookie. You had to figure it out for a while with Travis Fulgham. He was flashing for a bit. Greg Ward in the slot. So Carson Wentz was not working with all that much or getting too much support there from the Eagles, and the play calling was pretty bad. They didn't involve Miles Sanders enough in the running game to open up play action and make Carson Wentz comfortable, bootlegs and all that kind of stuff that kind of whispers a quarterback and makes him more efficient. So we didn't see that from the Eagles a lot. They were very uncreative there, kind of predictable at times. And again, limited personnel issues. Protection wasn't very good. Wentz took a beating. He held on the ball too long trying to extend plays when there wasn't guys that could get open. So it was like a perfect storm of events here that happened with Carson Wentz's disastrous season. He also threw a league-high 15 interceptions. So yeah, there was a lot of issues with Wentz. I mean, yes, it was tied to the supporting cast, but also the play of Wentz in particular. It didn't mesh well with Wentz's playing style. He was tough, trying to hang in there, reckless abandon, trying to make plays that simply weren't there, and he got in a lot of trouble taking those sacks and making those turnovers there, throwing to the other team. So I really like this move for the Colts. I think Carson Wentz can fit nicely with what Reich wants to do. They have a good baseline of the running game with Jonathan Taylor. They like their multiple tight end sets. They might lose a little bit from that with Trey Burton, but there's talk about a Zach Ertz reunion with Carson Wentz. So that would be nice when you have Zach Ertz and Jack Doyle in your two tight end sets. Pretty good. Doyle, pretty dependable, and use those looks there with the 12 personnel. And the Eagles had success with those. We know that, and that's something Carson Wentz is familiar with. But you look at their young receiving core. Paris Campbell is going to be a key component here. He's a quick, speedy receiver from Ohio State. They had big plans for him last year, but he just wasn't healthy. T.Y. Hilton is a free agent. You figure they're going to move on from him and say maybe Paris Campbell is the playmaker to look at. But Pittman and Zach Pascal give him some good baseline there in the receiving corps. I think Pascal is a bit underrated working the inside. The Colts really like him in that offense. And you look at Pittman, I think he can be a star inside, outside, running routes. I think he's a special receiver with a big body, can work to get himself open. Much like I think Alshon Jeffrey, when Jeffrey was on point and healthy and in his best state for the Eagles here to produce and help Carson Wentz. So, yeah, so there's things I like about Pittman. Can go up and get the ball. Pascal's kind of reliable. Maybe thrown back to Nelson Agholor. Remember that 2017 season where Agholor was really good in the slot and Paris Campbell being a big play threat. So I don't figure the Colts are done either at wide receiver. They could look for an upgrade. They have plenty of free agency money, even after the Carson Wentz deal here, bringing in that $25 million for 2021. So they could look at one of the top receivers there to upgrade. Not looking at A.J. Green with T.Y. Hilton, but looking more, do they go after an Allen Robinson and bring him in the mix here? Do they go after a Kenny Golladay? Is Marvin Jones a good fit here as an older receiver to complement the younger guys they on these teams? So a lot of things that the Colts can explore to upgrade at wide receiver in some sense here, but they also have a pretty good baseline. And if they go get Ertz, I mean, not a bad tight end duo because Doyle becomes maybe more the primary inline guy the way that Goddard was, and Ertz is more of a complimentary receiver, but that familiarity is already there. Ertz had a big year. We also know with Reich, the offense coordinator's play design under Doug Peterson there in 2017. So you can't turn back the clock too much on Ertz. He's a little bit worn down. We know the wear and tear is there with him, but Carson Wentz is very young. Doyle's still a pretty good player. Again, these receivers are underrated, and you have Jonathan Taylor out of the backfield. This is the biggest asset here that the Colts have. They have that steady running game, much like you had Kevin Stefanski come in with Cleveland and have the running game established. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, what'd you get? much more efficient Baker Mayfield. He wasn't being hit a lot. He was making high percentage plays, playing off play action, bootleg, moving around, using his athleticism. So you can see similar effects to that to help Carson Wentz. And remember, we're thinking about it from the fantasy football perspective. Baker Mayfield didn't really light it up because they were so run-heavy and run-dependent in Cleveland to open things up, and they didn't have a lot of receiving core. But I think this offense wants to be more explosive in Indianapolis with Carson Wentz in there. So they definitely have some elements that could point them in that direction if they upgrade a little bit receiver. They got to upgrade or re-upgrade that pass protection without Costanzo. Now, they still have the first and second round pick to attack those positions potentially here without giving that up here in 2020 to the Eagles. So really like the prospects of Carson Wentz in this offense. He scored about 17.8 points per game when healthy there. So the 12 starts that he made, taking away the four games that Jalen Hurts started, that's about his average. So that put him in the middle of the QB2s and the higher end in that 16 to 20 range. So there were certainly some potential. Carson Wentz was a borderline QB1, but it really struggled when he was about to be benched. That really dropped his numbers down. But you look at Phillip Rivers last year, not great. He was around 16 points per game in fantasy football there for the Colts. So not much of a fantasy football option. He was a streamer in some good matchups, but not a guy that you depended on. But I think Carson Wentz could push that up to quite a nice level here and maybe push towards averaging 20 points per game in this offense. Because again, the Colts, they do depend a lot on slowing things down. They like to grind games out with their running game and defense, but they also want to open things up and expand. Reich knows the importance of that. He was there with the Eagles in 2017, where that was a big part of their offense, getting those home run plays to open things up for the running game and short to intermediate passing game, as well as setting up shots off play action and having Wentz on the move to make big plays that way versus him being a sitting duck and trying to get and passed and through this breaking down pass protection. That's not going to happen to the Colts. They'll be sound fundamentally there to help Carson Wentz. So I have high hopes here that he can creep into a back-end QB1. That's how much I think he can help. At least he's going to be a nice option as a top backup or a 2QB league. Carson Wentz certainly can take advantage of this Indianapolis situation. All right, so there's a look at what is going on with the Colts side of things. We need to break down the Eagles side of things and where they might think about their quarterback production. But first, I got to tell you about Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for the news, scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up at betonline.ag. Head to the website or use a mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You just have to use the promo code LOCKEDON there to take advantage of that. And 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. It's a pretty sweet deal there. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. We'll be right back here to break down the Eagles side of things with the Carson Wentz trade here, the latest blockbuster for the 2021 offseason. All right, so the Eagles have to think about what they're doing at quarterback. The Colts look like they're in pretty good shape to resurrect and revive Carson Wentz here. So break down Jalen Hurts, and hopefully the Eagles will stay with him. Before we do that, we're covering everything you need to know here about the trade between the Colts and the Eagles, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's look at the Eagles here. Will they go forward with Jalen Hurts? I think that's the indication here. I mean, he played pretty well down the stretch. I mean, something to keep in mind with Jalen Hurts' numbers, it averages under 8 points per game, fantasy football-wise, but when he started, those four games were stellar. He was 24.5, which would put him in the top half of QB1s in terms of those average points per game. So, yeah, we love running quarterbacks in fantasy football. That was part of Jalen Hurts' appeal. He came right away, made some plays with his legs, but he also pushed the ball downfield, made some pretty throws in some games. I remember that long touchdown to Greg Ward where he was rolling out and throwing deep, so this kid has a big arm. He's extremely tough. He's an excellent athlete. Can move out of the pocket. You want to use the running skills of Jalen Hurts. I mean, they're that good. They're smart. A little bit of a Russell Wilson where he picks his spots, runs well. Deshaun Watson there too. So, and those are high expectation comparisons. But what we saw early from Jalen Hurts was pretty fun to watch early. So, especially that Saints game, you know, came out and flipped it and was looking confident, throwing the ball all over the field. There, he had some lumps. He was a rookie, and he was thrust into the action late as a second-round pick. He didn't maybe necessarily expect to start. And then we had that controversy there where they pulled out Jalen Hurts and went with Nate Sudfeld in the final game there against the Washington football team on the Sunday Night Football. That was a bit embarrassing, probably the last straw for Doug Peterson, but I didn't get that at all. I mean, Jalen Hurts was playing well in that game. He was making things happen. And that's probably why Peterson was moved on from there with Jeffrey Lurie. They go to Nick Sirianni, who was with the Colts, and Frank Reich last year. So interesting dynamic there where really you're getting parts of the Colts offensive coaching staff from 2020 dealing with now Wentz and Hurts. So very interesting development there. There were some chemistry with Greg Ward. I think Jalen Reagor and Jalen Hurts could develop something here nicely. The first-round pick from TCU. Stay healthy, stretch the field. I think they'll move on from DeSean Jackson. I think it's time to move on from Alshon Jeffrey. They can't trust J.J. Arcega-Whiteside here. Travis Fulgham, we'll see if he gets a second chance to have a bigger impact as an X receiver. But looking at this situation for the Eagles, I mean, they have to consider upgrading at wide receiver and probably a tight end at this point if they trade Zach Hurts, as everyone expects here, as the next domino to fall from this Eagles offense. They clear house, clear some cap space, move some veteran contracts. Still got to do a little bit more beyond the trading of Wentz there. So Ertz figures to be gone, but they like to use the 12 personnel. And remember, Sirianni comes from Reich, so you'll want to keep some of that element as well to take advantage of Dallas Goedert being a key target here. So Goedert, if he's fully healthy, can be a big part of the offense and a key target here for Jalen Hurts. So that's not a bad baseline. I like Reagor as a big playmaker. Ward potentially could be the guy in the slot again, the ex-quarterback from Houston, converted there, a good athlete, so he can work the middle of the field there, much like Randall Cobb, very similar player there. So, yeah, I like Reagor and Ward, but I'd like for them to get another target, and they're in great shape in the early part of the draft here. They have three really good options that one of them should be available. You have Devontae Smith of Alabama, Heisman Trophy winner, coming off a monster season there for the Crimson Tide. You also have Ja'Marr Chase. If he slips a little bit in the draft beyond number three, the Eagles will be in position to get him. He's an amazing player with very few holes in his game and can be an alpha as a number one receiver all around for them and really help Reagor as a deep threat, Ward in the slot. So definitely things to look at there for the Eagles. And then you have an option three, which is excellent if they move on from Ertz, is Kyle Pitts, the Florida tight end. Very special receiver. Kind of like Mark Andrews, a hybrid receiver and tight end, can make plays, just a dominant player in the red zone. That target would be amazing. Put him with Goddard there for Jalen Hurts. So really can focus on some help for Hurts here. Hopefully that Dillard comes back healthy to help the offensive line here. And they don't have to invest so highly. The Eagles still could look there in a different round and now have this extra pick here from the Colts. So it gives them some flexibility on day two to help the offensive line if needed. But a skill player seems to make sense. So if you don't have Chase, you don't have Smith, you don't have Kyle Pitts, you could also look at Jalen Waddle. I think he's a special receiver as well that has number one capacity here from the Alabama Crimson Tide. Working with Smith last year, he just wasn't healthy down the stretch. Smith really took off and exploded and dominated as a number one without Waddle in there. But Waddle is special in his own right as well. So I think he'll be the third receiver off the board here. Pitts clearly will be the number one tight end, and I think top 10 was a kind of a lock for Pitts, but I think now potential of him going in the top five. So that's how good Pitts is. That's how special of an athlete and playmaker he is, and he'd be a good person, any of these guys really, when you look at Smith, Chase, or Pitts, or Waddle, any of these guys, bringing them in the mix for Hurts is going to help his value here. So I'm really excited about Jalen Hurts as well, and I really was pitching Wentz as a borderline QB1. Well, I think Hurts could be a solid QB1. I mean, you look at the running. We love the running baseline in fantasy football. Comes from the Alabama style, but also has the Oklahoma in him, the Kyler Murray style system from Lincoln Riley there. So we know that there's a prolific history with Jalen Hurts. He's a borderline Heisman contender there for the Sooners, making the transition. He's played a lot of football at a high level. He's a good leader, good producer here, wherever he's been in two big-time programs. And you have an offensive-minded coach coming there, Nick Sirianni. So I really like the things that Hurts could do. Again, we have to trust Howie Roseman a little bit in this front office, make some changes, upgrade the offense, get the skill positions right, get the line back on track. But again, Hurts, I think he's a guy that could rush for like 40 to 50 yards consistently in games and also give you some good production like the 215-2 through the air. So very appealing quarterback that we're going to watch here, especially when you look at that 24.5 number. That was in a dysfunctional offense where he was having to do a little bit of everything there to make up for Carson Wentz and the disappointment over those last four games of the season. All right, so there's a look there at what happens to the Colts and what happens to the Eagles now going forward with this Wentz deal and Hurts elevation, we presume. We still have to kind of wrap things up and kind of look at what this kind of does for the quarterback market and the way things are set up here for the offseason and other teams' fantasy football prospects. We'll do that in our final segment. But first, I got to tell you about Built Bar, the best-tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even delicious-er now with six new flavors, caramel brownie cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. That goes with their 12 original flavors, coconut almond, raspberry, German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange, toffee almond, coconut, and peanut butter brownie. The bars you get from Built Bar are all covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar's great for anyone who cares about their health, a guy or a gal. It's New Year, we're sticking to our resolutions. We're in the second month, February, going into March. We want to stay on top of our health, and Built Bar is going to help you with that. And you can lose or maintain weight while indulging in an ultra-delicious treat, a protein bar that tastes like a dessert. And all the bars you get from Built Bar, low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for anyone on a keto diet. Just take their coconut almond bar, 18 grams protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams sugar, only 5 grams net carbs. So take advantage there. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. We'll be right back here to look at what the Colts-Eagles trade does for the rest of the quarterback situations around the NFL. All right, so let's kind of sum up what we've seen with this trade with the Colts and Eagles and what that might mean for some other teams here in reality and fantasy football. But as a reminder, join the Draft Network's Trevor Sikkema and Ben Solak every weekday on the Locked On NFL Draft Show. Every Monday through Friday, Trevor and Ben break down everything you need to know about the NFL Draft, upcoming prospects, and more through the draft scouting lens. With mock drafts every Monday, get an early look at which top prospects may be available for your team over at Locked On NFL Draft. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And one point on this show, we'll go back and take a deep dive into my mock drafts and prospects and all that as we get closer to the draft. But we'll look at kind of with the team's offseason previews here in that mode and reacting to the news because I know we'll get some more. So we've had two big trades. So if you mix my breakdown of the Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, Lions-Rams swap, that's up there. You can check out the archives there. This show will be up so you can check out the analysis here, and hopefully it's giving you some insight to fantasy football. We want to do an advanced scouting look here to know where we're going. So the biggest domino yet to fall here is Deshaun Watson. We need to see where he lands. Does the Houston team move him, the Texans, or do they keep him and say, okay, we're going to work around him at this point if the deals are not out there? So a lot of things yet to happen here. Will the Jets move on from Sam Darnold? We know a Watson trade to either the Jets or the Dolphins will mean a move for Darnold in a trade or Tua Tagovailoa in a trade. So things could be in motion here. We could see nearly half the league change quarterbacks. So we need to see the next domino fall. We have the five first-rounders here. Another situation we're monitoring is Ben Roethlisberger. Will the Steelers move on from him? Will they go in-house with Mason Rudolph? Will they go in a different direction? So all kinds of things we can break down here for you on Locked On Fantasy Football throughout the offseason. So again, we get to all those NFC North team breakdowns here as well. So stick with us here. We're going to give you the insight. Anything that happens big quarterback-wise, and there will be a lot, veteran-wise, through the rookies and mock draft, look ahead at some of these quarterbacks in the 2021 class. We'll have that for you as well. But I'm really excited to see what happens. I think you could have a big shuffle in fantasy football production all throughout the league here just different guys emerging. If Watson moves, that'll be interesting to watch. Jimmy Garoppolo, does he move from the 49ers? So, again, we're going to watch all these and react, because these things are going to have major fantasy football implications. Right now, we may have just created two more QB1s. Well, you look at the Stafford-Goff trade, and you're probably stuck with two QB2s still with that move. So the Colts-Eagles, I have to commend them. It was a good deal. The Eagles realizing we had to cut it and move on, and Colts were the team that came with the only offer, so they got a good bargain deal for him relatively to have Carson Wentz under contract for the next 3 years. Essentially, that's the same deal here for the Eagles with Jalen Hurts. They get a bargain deal for their quarterback. So if I had to guess who's going to have more fantasy football production based on the way the teams are constructed, based on defensive issues, based on schedule, I say it's Jalen Hurts with the Eagles over Carson Wentz with the Colts. But again, I'm high on both these guys being rather productive. Hurts elevated to full-time starter. Let's hope that's the case. The Eagles stick with that. And the Colts rolling with Wentz here. And they're going to do everything they can to help Wentz get back on track and really put up pleasing fantasy football numbers that we know he can when healthy. So there you have it. There's a breakdown here of the biggest trade so far of the offseason, bigger than the Stafford-Goff trade, to Carson Wentz moving from the Eagles to the Colts. Again, we'll take our time in breaking down the NFC North as well. So we'll go in order there with the Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers, and Minnesota Vikings. So look for those in-depth breakdowns. If you miss any of these with teams, we're going to have them up, and you can check them out. So off-season mode and Lockdown Fantasy Football, where you keep going and giving the insight you need. For Lockdown Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.